Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina. Wees daar tussen 3 en 6.
Hey, we excited vir vandag se dag in die lewe van. Want Jackie Gouverneur kuier hier so by ons en sy's 'n wild lewe fotograaf. Ek dink as jy soos moet top 10 beste beroepe in die wêreld. Is hierdie definitief heel bo. At least vir my. Jackie, welkom hier by ons.
Baie dankie julle. Nee, is lekker om hier te wees.
So, ons gaan so 'n bietjie meng tussen Afrikaans en Engels want Afrikaans is actually jou tweede taal.
Ja, dit is.
Maar jy kan hom praat net as jy in gevaarsoomblikke is.
Presies, man.
En wanneer jy moet met iemand onderhandel as jy in Afrika is om foto's te neem.
100%, ja.
Jackie, so, hoe het jy in die fotografie opgeëindig?
Sure, it's a long story. So I was actually a game ranger when I left school for about 7-8 years. And eventually I stopped and I came back to town and got involved with some other businesses. But, you know, slowly but surely I started missing the bush more and more. I used to do a lot of fishing and stuff like that in between, but, you know, the bush was calling me back. Mm. And, you know, when you're a game ranger, you don't, you know, back in the day you didn't earn a lot of money. And I couldn't really afford proper camera equipment back then. And eventually now I could. So went out, got this equipment that I've always wanted and started taking pics. And so it went on and eventually started going on better and better trips and getting better images. And that's when I, got a hold of Tusk Photo and became one of the guides. And, wow. And the rest is history.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's an expensive hobby, photography. Yeah. I know that as well. But now you've got all the gear and do you need to pay for your own experiences when you travel, or, you know, how does it work? Because I always see these beautiful images of elephants and it's gorillas.
And I don't think you can, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't like plan a trip for 3 days because animals aren't models.
Yeah.
You've got to go find them.
Well, so it's definitely an expensive hobby. I mean, you know, when you start out, you do a lot of local trips and try and get out as much as you can and just take pics. But as you start getting more into it, you want to, you know, you've got like your bucket list of shots that you'd love to get or, you know, that you dream of getting. Mm. And those trips are really expensive. And what we do at Tusk Photo is we actually, I'm one of the guides. So we get to go out taking clients with us and we actually take them to these destinations and show them. So I get to see these destinations with a great group of guests.
Oh,
and
awesome.
That's how I get there. You know, different people do it in different ways, but that's how I personally do it. I have a couple of places that I go to on my own every year with bucket list shots that I want to get. And yeah, so I basically have a combination then of my own trips and guided trips that I host.
So, you've been to South America, that is so far. You've been to the Arctic? Is that where you got the polar bear?
Yeah, the Arctic now. I mean, my head's still stuck there, to be honest. At 80 degrees north, I'm struggling to get back into things.
Really?
Yeah, it was that amazing. It was truly, unbelievable and better than I could have ever anticipated. So, we went there in search of polar bears. And we were very lucky to have an amazing sighting. We saw actually a few, but one really, really good sighting of
Was that the cub?
Yeah, the female and the cub, and it was really good. So we were out on we met at Longyearbyen with our guests, and we went out for 10 days sailing around. Well, it was hectic storms and very extreme weather, so we had to sail into the fjords and actually take cover from this the hectic
storms,
weather, and then. Looking for bears and walruses and stuff like that. But we had an amazing time. Very.
So I think out of all the places that you've already been to, it sounds like 80 degrees north.
Yeah.
Is your top?
Yeah.
In the top?
Difficult to say. You know, when, you know, Africa is amazing and there's amazing destinations. Brazil is so colorful and, you know, there's jaguars and macaws and all these different wildlife that
and they're massive.
Yeah, and that's great in its own way. Mm. So I think each destination is really amazing in a different way and very special. But Arctic is, for now. Maybe it's just fresh in my mind, but really up there.
Well, ons gaan nou verder saam met Jackie Keers as 'n wildlewe fotograaf en soos jy kan hoor, man, ons ongelooflike stories.
En as jy dalk enige vrae het, is jy welkom om dit te stuur na 0616104576.
Maar net nie foto's van Fifi stuur en sê sy moet vir ons 'n rating gee 10 nie, want dit gaan ons nou nie doen vandag nie. Dit is Fifi foto's nie. Dag in die lewe van Jackie Gouverneur wat saam met ons is. Sy's 'n professionele wildlewe fotograaf. Man, ek gaan dit net sê, sy's 'n wildlife photographer. Sommige weet wat dit is. Niemand, jy gaan dit in Afrikaans sê, dan is almal soos, wat, waarvan praat jy nou?
So Jackie, when you're in the Wildtuin, nee, are you one of those people who go, you like wait at the gate at 6 in the morning and then you're in the car till they close the gate and then you come back?
Yeah, I am.
Oh my
no,
goodness.
But not 6 a.m., that's way too late. You need to be there like way earlier.
Oh, really?
You know, the thing is, we're all there to photograph cats and dogs and things with teeth and they are awake. In the early morning and late evening.
But what now about the poor bokkies, man?
Yeah, no, take that too. That's what the rest of the day is there for. But
or you know, do you want the bokkie in the cat's mouth?
Exactly. Even better. So, like, you often hear these people, oh, I saw nothing at Kruger Park. Or, I saw nothing in the bush. And then you're like, so what time were you waking up? No, we went out from like 8 till 3. I'm like, okay, well, that's when you should be at home catching a nap. The rest of the time you should be out if you want to get really good light. Good light for photos and also good action.
Mm.
So,
I guess when you go out on these types of trips, you know, there's going to be memorable stuff that you see, stuff that you only see when you're in the bush with the animals. And also, it's going to get dangerous, like you said. You want to get close to the cats and stuff. Now, I'm pretty sure you have a very big, long lens, probably like a 600 mil or something. So, you don't have to get too close. But you want a nice, sharp image. And sometimes that means you have to get close to the action. So have you ever been in a really dangerous situation where something happened and you thought afterwards, oh, that could have ended badly?
Yeah, we generally like to do those sorts of things, to be honest, though.
Yeah.
So over the years, since I was a game ranger, I had many different experiences. I've had from elephants and rhinos chasing me, I've tracked lions. I was basically on foot with lions every day. So, you know, there's been one or two charges. I'd say my most hectic was poachers running after me all my life. Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
That was one that stood out. But these days, we've learned animal behavior so well that you can actually preempt what an animal's going to do, and you don't really get yourself or guests into trouble. So, for instance, one of the most amazing experiences that you can have is we do a trip. I often go up to Amboseli, which is in Kenya. And there's a elephant bull there, which is probably the biggest elephant bull left in Africa. They call him Craig. It's a funny name for an amazing animal. If you see him, his tusks are to the ground. He's so amazing and relaxed. So he allows you to get really close up to him. I mean, you can sit there with your wide angle, with your cell phone, get a full frame shot of this elephant, right? So very often, and it's not because he's trying to harm you or something, but as he turns, his tusks are so big that they often almost like knock you in the body. And that could turn out badly. But we're always checking what he does, and, you know, he's relaxed. We've got a local Maasai guy that's with us, and so that's pretty.
So you go back and you go visit Craig many times.
And I tell you, it brings a tear to your eye when you see him, because he's you can see every year he's getting a bit thinner and a bit thinner.
Really?
Yeah. And his days are numbered. You know, they only live on average till like, let's say 60, 65.
Yeah.
But with those massive tusks, it's really an extra hindrance for him.
Yeah.
So I think there was another bull that was in a similar size, and he died 2 years ago. So I hope I'll be able to see Craig for many years to come. But every time I do see him, it's a blessing.
Oh, wow.
In terms of the animals that you've photographed, who's I'm putting it like an almost a model term here. Who's the easiest to photograph in terms of the animals, and what's the most difficult shot you've ever had to get?
Sure. I think elephants, I enjoy photographing elephants, and there's so many different opportunities that you could, I mean, you go to the banks of the
Chobe. They're just always beautiful and majestic.
Yeah, they're always beautiful, yeah. Mm. And like, so Craig, for instance, this big elephant, I mean, low angle from below him, showcasing his majesty and his size. But then also, like, on the banks of the Chobe River, you get silhouettes with that beautiful afternoon sunset. So there's a lot of easy...
When they're in the water and they glisten.
Yeah.
And the little babies with their mommies.
Exactly. Aww. So there's so many opportunities. I think difficult...
Birds.
No, birds are easy, I think.
Is that why so many old worms are taking pictures of the birds?
Well, with the new cameras these days, you know, with the tracking and stuff, it's become much easier.
Yeah, you don't have to do much, hey?
Look, it's still a skill. Don't get me wrong. You still need to get that bird into that frame, especially with a long lens. But it has become a lot easier than it once was. And the equipment's also a lot lighter. So that is really making it easy. But in terms of difficult shots, you know, I think to take a normal, average-looking animal like a impala or a springbok or whatever that you see every day and to try and make that into something special, that is a difficult
task. Yeah, that is difficult.
Then you've all seen a million impalas in your life, but to see a photo that, like, captures the essence of that animal is not that easy.
Yeah.
And that's what makes certain photographers stand out. Yeah.
So in terms of photography, how do you monetize this situation? Because now you go out and you've got all of these amazing images, but you can't just put them on the internet for people to use and do whatever, you know? Do you put them on stock photo sites and people can purchase them, or how do you actually make money out of your passion?
So firstly, that is the main thing. It is my passion, so I'm okay to actually make money elsewhere and just do this because I love it. But I do guide, and that's one way of making money out of it. And secondly, I also, you know, sell a lot of photographic prints. During COVID and those times when obviously tourism was dead quiet, art sales were going through the roof at that stage. So we do a lot of art print sales, you know, for people's walls. And then also stock agencies sell or buy our pics. Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about the places that you have been before we get to the rest of your bucket list. So, South America, obviously Argentina and the Amazon. You've been in the Amazon?
I've been to Brazil. So, the Pantanal, which is similar to our Okavango Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar wetland system. Amazing. That's where jaguars, macaws, giant anteaters,
tapirs,
and all sorts of strange-looking and amazing bird life. Then I've also been in the southern part of South America to... Patagonia in Chile, and that's where we photograph pumas, and it's really a great experience. Most picturesque place you've ever seen. It's beautiful. Whichever way you look, you can take a photo in that place. It's really nice. And we actually track pumas on foot there, so which I really love. Those
that's not dangerous at all.
They're actually it's a local farm actually that is adjacent to the Torres del Paine National Park. And they've just found that there's a lot of puma on there. And over the years, puma have realized that people aren't a danger to them. So they get really close up to you. I mean, they'll walk right past you. So that is a magnificent experience.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I've been to, you know, like the Arctic, been to all over Africa, Rwanda for the gorillas, Masai Mara, Kenya.
Yeah.
So on.
Australia for the kangaroos?
Not yet. Not yet. Love to go and do diving and do some underwater photography there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned now all of these amazing overseas places, but if you had to tell us about one special spot in South Africa that really stands out, where would that be?
I think for wildlife photography, the Sabi Sands is still my favorite, which is right next to the Kruger National Park. You know,
because you can also get very close up to the animals there.
Yeah, and it's probably the best place in Africa to see leopards. You know, the leopards are relaxed. They bring their cubs. You can see them easily. The sightings are really good of all the game, like lions, etc. So I'd say that would probably be my number one destination in South Africa for wildlife photography. And also, you know, the guides are generally good over there. They know what you want, and yeah, they
you can almost
knowledgeable.
You can almost put it on the menu. Like, what do you want to see? Okay, cool. Let's go.
My last couple of trips haven't been like that. Not too Sabi Sands, just in general. In you have these ideas of how it's going to be, and then the weather comes. Like in Svalbard now, the weather. We had this extreme weather, and then in Patagonia we had. weather just comes and totally changes the plan. Mm. And you need to be flexible and just go with it, because nature always gives you something.
Do you prefer shooting animals on foot and going into the bush, or are you fine with taking pictures off a game viewer?
Both. It depends on the place and the animal, I guess. So in Marna Pools, which is one of my favorite places ever, that is 100% on foot. So you drive, you track animals and you find them, and then you climb off and you go and you follow them on foot. Mm. All animals, lions, elephants, etc. So in that place, definitely on foot. There's just a feeling about it, to be on foot walking next to the Zambezi River. Mm. It's wild. But then, I mean, Sabi Sands, if everyone was climbing out, it would be a disaster. Yeah. So I'm happy to photograph animals as the place, as it works out wherever we are.
Fantastic. Wel, as jy 'n vraag het vir Jackie, en dit klink soos luister, hierdie klink nou soos die type beroep wat ek eendag sal wil beoefen, dan stuur vir ons 'n WhatsApp met jou vraag vir haar 061-610-4576. Ons het nog 'n hele paar vrae om deur te kom vir vandag se dag in die lewe van saam met haar. Saam met ons se dag in die lewe van Jackie Gouverneur, en sy's 'n wildlife photographer. Very much coolness, ek moet sê, ek is mal oor wat sy doen en die werk, en ek dink ek moet ook 'n paar prints aan die huis sit.
Ja, jy moet.
Ja.
Maar I love that photo of a polar bear, of the polar bear that you took. It's the cub, right?
Standing on a
little rock. Roots.
Yeah. It was very, very curious. It's a really great.
And where was the mom?
She was totally relaxed in our presence, which was like the cherry on the top in that sighting. She went and laid on a rock, eye level with us, and she just slept and wasn't bothered. The little cub was running up and down, like trying to get closer to us.
Hippies, kinders, maak heel nonsense.
Ja, ja. Nonsense. Ja. Nonsense.
Ja. So, vertel ons gou 'n bietjie van jou ondervinding, of jy weet, soos waar jy al jou skill opgetel het. Het jy gaan swat? Het jy kursusse gedoen? Hoe... Tel die mense net die kamera op en dan begin jy mooi foto's neem.
Ja, ek het eintlik gaan swat, maar glad nie in die fotografie nie. Ek het bekom bemarking begin swat.
Oh, wow.
En my idee was iets heeltemal anders, om iets heeltemal anders te doen. Maar fotografie het ek myself geleer. Toe ek my kamera so goed gekoop het ek net begin neem. En jy weet, soos hulle sê, die 10,000 hour rule, dit is regtig waar. Mm. Hoe meer jy kan enige boek lees, jy kan alles doen, maar as jy eers begin uitgaan en meer foto's neem, dis wanneer jy begin leer.
Maar ek neem aan, for a wildlife photographer, like you were a guide before, you've got to know animals, you've got to know the wildlife in order for you to get those special moments.
I think that's very key. You know, if I think of some of the best wildlife photographers around the world, a lot of them were either working in the bush or were guiding or doing something like that, so they really get a great understanding of animals, and that really helps in getting a photo. So that's like part of my job. If I'm sitting on a vehicle, I am always in contact with the guy that's driving, the local guide, telling him how to position the vehicle, because I'm anticipating what the animal's gonna do, not what it's doing now. So the leopard's in the tree behind a bush, behind some leaves, eating on something, that's not a shot. You're not going to do anything with that shot. What we want is the shot when the leopard comes down the tree with the sunset behind it. Oh. So we will go and position the vehicle waiting for that, not for the...
Now, obviously, you were a ranger in the African bush. Sekani Kruger, ne? Or wherever, it doesn't matter, but Africa. Then you go to Patagonia or to... Brazil or wherever. Is there the same traits in animals no matter where they come from, or is it different? Like polar bears, are they different to lions, for instance?
Yeah, every animal's different. But most people, I see it so often in Kruger, for instance, they just see an elephant coming and they turn and they speed away. Animals hate speeding away, by the way. If you just sit quietly and you watch what the animal's doing, it's very easy to understand its behavior. Mm. Obviously, initially we've got a local guide that we go with, that I go with, and that person is an expert in their country with whatever species. But I wouldn't say it's very different to... We've got the most dangerous animals here, so it's actually a lot easier to, you know, and yeah, to understand what animals they are going to do and to preempt it. Yeah.
So have you been in one of those situations when you get into the bush and you know you're going to photograph something and everyone else that's with you in the group is like, oh man, I'm so scared. I don't want to see a jaguar. Then you're like, and I was walking with a bunch of South African lions 2 weeks ago. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's often like that, you know. But you can't,
I'll clap a jaguar that gets out of place. No problem.
Not quite. But, I mean, everyone's got different frame of reference. So, so for some people, the most they're ever going to see in the wild is like sitting on their Instagram looking at photos. And those are usually the most vocal people. But, you know, I get to spend a lot of time with animals, so I understand it. But someone else, I can understand that other people might be afraid because they, you know, it's something they're not used to. So you just have to, you know, help them and make them feel how good it is to be around animals.
So you said you would still love to go photograph the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah. What else is on your bucket list?
Sure. Do you have a long? Do you have a lot of time?
Yes. Go.
So I think polar regions are really in the top of my mind at the moment. So to go to South Georgia, next to Antarctica for king penguins is a wow.
Oh, wow.
That place looks incredible. Then bears in Alaska. I want to go salmon fishing at the same time. So bears and salmon.
So do you fly?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. I do all fishing. Yeah. Fly. And then tigers in India. I haven't done yet. I heard it's pretty chaotic with the people and whatever, but I'd love to see it. And then a trip that's coming up that I'm super excited for is Norway, to go and photograph orcas and the and the Northern Lights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so, imagine those shots.
Yeah. So wow. That's pretty cool. So it's above and below water, so we'll have underwater housings and stuff, and you jump in. Orcas in Norway, it's really amazing. I mean, in other places around the world, you'll get like groups of 30 or 50. For instance, in Canada.
Yeah.
In Norway, there's one fjord where you get where they've counted up to 1,100 in one fjord. In one like group.
Yeah.
And that's mixed with humpbacks and all sorts of stuff. And they're after the herring there. So they focus 100% on herring. So people are not on the menu, so you can jump in the water with them.
What?
Yeah.
You're going to swim with like 1,000 whales?
Yeah. How amazing.
But that cold water.
Yeah. Dry suits and stuff. So we do this. I do the sardine run in South Africa, which is also really fun. That's also, I mean, chaotic. There's just
but sharks and
whales and
are you in the water with them as well?
Yeah, my sharks are actually very. They don't want to come close to you. You're very lucky if you're able to get one come close to you. So, but it's obviously there's these bait balls and dolphins around them and whales coming in and
just hold the sardine in your mouth if you want to get a close up shot.
Good plan.
Yeah.
But that Norway trip sounds incredible. Yeah. I can't wait for those photos.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, me too.
Wow.
So, ons is nou weer terug saam met Jackie. Nog 'n laaste paar vrae oor hierdie ongelooflike interessante beroep. Ek dink net, nee, ons gaan praat oor betalingsaanpassings.
Ja.
As ons hierdie tipe ding wil aanvat, hoor. Saam met ons, Jackie Gouverneur, en sy is 'n wildlife fotograaf. Man, dit klink vir my soos wat ek moet doen. Op naweke.
I've just got a question now. Obviously, when you take as a guide, you go out, the people stay in quite luxurious accommodation, right?
Yeah, very.
But then when you go out on your own, do you rough it?
Oh, I love to rough it. So my favorite, I mean, look, a lodge is lekker.
Yeah.
Don't lie, Jackie.
I'm not going to lie.
Where are you going to charge your batteries and stuff?
I'm sorted for that. So to go to a place like Mana Pools, camping with a trailer and being like a cold foot in the sand, doing what you want to do when you feel like doing it is still really magic. I love that. Camping is great. And but as I say, the lodge is not going to kill anyone.
So a lot of people listening, young people listening, thinking, you know what, I love photography, I like animals, and maybe I should merge these two interests of mine. Knowing what you know now and having been in the industry and having done it, what kind of advice would you give to young people listening now wanting to go into wildlife photography?
I'd say you need to really, you know, once you've got equipment.
Start with sheep and goats.
Yeah. No. Get your equipment, but don't be too focused on, you know, buying more and more and more and new stuff. And I mean, every year there's new equipment coming out and people just are fascinated with just going out and keep on upgrading.
Buying
but
and
rather use that money and go and buy experiences. So get out there, take as many shots as you can. Mm. That 10,000 hour rule that I spoke of, it is 100%. There is nothing that can, you know, make you a better photographer than experience in the field.
Mm.
So every day, whether it's if you're practicing on your dog or you're driving to Rietvlei, I've spent how many days in Rietvlei?
Mm.
Only Artful I ever saw was there. and just getting out and taking shots, you know, and getting back home, processing them. Processing is like half of the job. It takes long and you can take an average looking image and make it amazing. So, mm. I mean, or just make it look like you saw it.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's what I'd say. Just get out there and actually do it. Don't
think you need all the based equipment all the time.
You can read and you can do whatever all the time. You can, as we say, like you can watch YouTube videos, which is important, but there's nothing that beats experience and actually going out and taking shots.
And like you said, waiting for the right shot and maneuvering around and lying and waiting for the light. And
I think that's the one thing that I like to focus on a lot is, you know, we've got a lot of different lenses from like 24 mil up to 800 mil. You need to learn how to work a scene. Don't just take a shot and you just keep on taking the same shot over and over and over. From use your wide angle, use your medium lens, your long lens.
Mm.
Use everything. Try and get as much out of one scene as you possibly can, and then you'll become a better photographer.
Mm. Yeah.
And the most important thing is your mother's always going to tell you that you're the best photographer.
Mm.
But rather go follow guys, follow girls on Instagram, and look at what's happening in the world out there.
Mm.
You know, measure yourself
against the best.
A best, yeah. Mm. I mean, you obviously you need to measure yourself against yourself because you're only going to get better and better. But do look at what's going on in the world out there and try and see if you can get as good shots as those guys.
So as a wildlife photographer, can you look, obviously you follow a lot of people. Can you look at a photo and say you think this is this person or that's that person?
Oh, there's often.
Oh, really?
So in some cases, no, but there are certain photographers that use like, let's say, presets on Lightroom, etc. that would always be their look. And I can definitely, if you follow a guy like Ross.
But I can do Lightroom on my Instagram.
Yeah. You can. But yeah, there's definitely people that have, if you look at a guy like Ross Cooper, great photographer from South Africa, is in the Swabi Sands. You can see a Ross Cooper anytime.
Mm.
He's brilliant, and the colors and tones of his images are very stand out.
Yeah, some guys also just like different compositions. They'll always use a similar composition because that's their shooting style.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, like, but so that's where I differ from that because I like to work a scene to the max. So take as many different shots with different angles, different lenses, and that's probably why I've got 25,000 photos from my last trip because, and every single one is different. You don't want
to overshooting, Jackie.
No, it's just difficult, man. Every scene is so good.
Yeah.
So I think you've kind of answered the question already. Like you get up really, really early, but if you can capture a day in the life of when you're out in the field.
Yeah.
Can you explain what it looks
like? So usually, well, not usually, we always wake up much earlier, like 2 hours before sunrise, and then we'll have a quick brekkie and head out on game drive. And usually the day has two game drives, and then in between we'll do like Lightroom sessions and stuff like that, and then come back for dinner and eventually host the guests and then go sleep. But now and then, you know, if you have a great sighting, let's say like cheetah hunting in the Masamora, there's no way you leave a hunting cat ever. So then we'll just cancel lunch. We'll cancel everything. We'll have some lunch brought out to us and we'll spend the whole day with them. Because the odds are, the minute you leave that cat, it's going to make a kill. And when you get back off to lunch, you're going to find it then. You would have missed the
opportunity.
Sighting. Yeah, so we're very flexible with that. You know, you can see what's going to happen. For instance, in Svalbard now, there were days when we'd have to wake up at 1 a.m. And because it's 24-hour light, so there's never darkness. And So 1 a.m. you're up scouting, looking for bears because we're in the zone, you know, in the right fjord or something. By that day, we spent the whole day out looking, and only 8 p.m. we had supper, and then we went and slept afterwards.
And so, you didn't see anything?
No, we found. Oh, we found. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But we did spend many hours scouting.
Yeah.
So up and down in zodiacs and so on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every day changes, but it's good to be flexible and definitely...
So you can't take your lunch at 12 p.m.
every day. No, no. You might miss out on the shots
you
of your life.
You can't be a wildlife photographer and work for the government.
Yeah, no.
Lunchtime is lunchtime here by the government. Yeah. You know you're going to miss the shot. Jackie, thanks so much for your time and thank you for telling us more about your amazing, amazing job. I think this is probably one of the coolest stuff. But we'll chat about me joining sometime on one of these treks. I think it'll be lekker. Maybe
I hope so.
Make my own prints there for my house of a parchitas.
Yeah, your photos mustn't be stored on your computer. You must put them on your wall. It's really a rewarding thing to do. But thank you guys. It's been
wonderful
to meet you.
Thank you so much. Ons sal hierdie ook podcast as jy na die tyd weer gaan wil gaan luister.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam Dobie en Nina 3 tot 6 net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.